Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Future Cast on the Player Profiler Radio Network. I am Cody Carpentier. You can find me on Twitter at CarpentierNFL. And with me, as always, my main man, Andy Milnick. You can find him on Twitter at FFDataKing. Andy, we're bringing a little bit of a different show here tonight. We're going to be doing the top five coaching hires of the 2022 offseason. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. It's awesome to see some of the coaches that we've got lined up here that we're going to talk about today. Kind of give folks a little taste of what they should expect to see, or kind of our thoughts or feelings around, were some coaches a good fit? Was it a smart hire? Was it a dumb hire? We'll give you all the takes that you need heading into the college football season.
It's going to be interesting. I know researching this, a lot of the situations that changed, a lot of the old faces in new places, and just kind of all around, the face of college football kind of, in a way, was flipped upside down. So I'm excited to get jumped into it. Let's start it out right here with the top five college football coach hirings of the 2022 offseason. Andy, I'm going to give you the mic with number five.
Yeah, I think number five subtly goes to a team that I'm not a big fan of their fans, but I think it's a good hire by the Florida Gators. I think Billy Napier coming out of Louisiana is a really good hire for them. Even though I'm against Dan Mullen being fired, after last year, I know he didn't meet the recruiting requirements that Florida fans had for him. But at the very least, man, Billy Napier is going to come in here, and at least he improved Louisiana from 7-7 to 12-1. So, we'll see. Again, this is coming off the heels of firing Dan Mullen, who went 34-15 with a 2-1 bowl game record. So, or almost competed for the SEC East that one year, right, with 111-2. So, yeah, I see Billy Napier, number five for me.
A guy that was I literally had him penciled in as one of my honorable mentions. I had two guys with honorable mentions that didn't make the list. But with my number five, I'm going Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman. A guy you could argue deserves to be higher in this list just because of what he brings to this team and this community, being a guy that played at Ohio State and then coached at Notre Dame and just being from the area. He was a grad assistant at Ohio State. He was defensive coordinator at Cincinnati the last few seasons, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame last year. And then he came in and got the head coaching job from Brian Kelly, who was 11-1, but jumped ship for LSU. I think Marcus Freeman just brings the moxie, the young energy to Notre Dame, something they've been missing since the early days. Remember, we all know Lou Holtz as being that old bag, that old wrinkly guy. But when Lou Holtz was there in his heyday, he was young, and that's when they were kicking ass. So maybe Notre Dame returns to normalcy. So I'm going number five, Marcus Freeman to Notre Dame.
Yeah, and that's a great pick for number five for him, because I've got him later on, further down on my list too. We'll get to that in a minute. But, yeah, I love the internal hire by Notre Dame here to pick Marcus Freeman. And did you feel like Notre Dame kind of had it planned, like succession plan for Brian Kelly kind of in place prior to him leaving? Because it just felt like it transitioned way too smoothly for an organization or a university that big.
I mean, I think they had it. They saw it coming down the line. Okay. When they brought him over in 2021, they had to be like, hey, if something, maybe there's an inkling that if an opportunity like LSU opened up for Brian Kelly, then maybe he would take it. And then having Freeman on the staff in 2021, I think that would open the door. And they're like, this is the guy if he walks. Straightforward. But he was 35 years old when they brought him in as the D coordinator. So, 36 getting this job, so damn young. If he really clicks and he hits and he starts bringing in these recruits like we've seen him so far, I think it's going to be successful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Moving on to my number four real quick here. These are two back-to-back kind of fan bases that for some reason got rid of a coach and hired someone that I think maybe similar or get them to the same ceiling or floor they've been at for the last couple of years. And that's Mario Cristobal going to Miami from Oregon. To me, I think Manny Diaz is doing a decent job down there. I mean, maybe he wasn't commanding the NIL stuff as well as they would have hoped him to do. But from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, we've seen Mario Cristobal have some more organic connection with the city, but so did Manny Diaz. My only worry here is that folks in Miami are going to confuse themselves and say, well, you know, it was a good enough offer that he left a big time program like Oregon to come here. That means we're going to be really good this year. And they're going to fool themselves into, you know, a 10 win season in the back of their mind. So I'd say that, still, I think there's a level of talent, the level of recruiting that Mario Cristobal brings, you know, being an ex offensive lineman and coaching the hell out of an offensive line, at Oregon. I think number four for me, Mario Cristobal.
Love that pick. You know it. Big fan of Miami. I don't have Cristobal on my list. Is that a surprise to you? Probably.
A little bit.
But like you said, does Cristobal kind of bring that to Miami? I think so. You said offensive line. Big, big struggle for Miami over the last few seasons is grooming an offensive line together. It's always been like one piece here, one piece here, and the quarterback, and they got Van Dyke. So I think what he brings is something that is opposite of what Diaz pretty much had, which was defense and not offensive line, not quarterback. So I am excited for that. But with my number four, I'm going to go to TCU. Let's go over to Texas. I'm going to go to Sonny Dykes, going to TCU to fill in for Gary Patterson. Jerry Kill was there a little bit last year. Sonny Dykes in this offense, I think coming over from SMU, he was an offensive analyst for TCU just a few years back. He's been all over Texas, Texas Tech, Northeast Louisiana, everywhere. He played baseball at Texas Tech. He grew up in Texas. Just being a Texas guy, kind of that air raid offense he's going to bring over from SMU. They got Quentin Johnston at wide receiver, Max Dugan at quarterback. I think that's going to be very beneficial to this offense with Sonny Dykes at TCU. So number four, TCU, Sonny Dykes.
It'll be great to see what they do now that they moved on from Gary Patterson. It'll be really interesting to see how they're gonna. They did Gary wrong, but I mean, those last couple of seasons as a Horned Frogs fan, woof.
Not the early 2010s TCU football team that we're used to.
No, not at all. You know, I said earlier that I had Marcus Freeman up a little bit higher. I get him at number three here, for all the same reasons that you mentioned before. Right, the hype, the energy, everything else. I'm all on board with Marcus Freeman. I think that the talent recruiting standpoint is going to keep pouring into Notre Dame, just because of the allure and the effect that Notre Dame has. I don't see, I don't have any, a lot more to add other than, you know, what you had already said before. So I'll throw it back over to you for your number three.
Number three of the team we've talked about many times on here, and that is the Virginia Cavaliers signing Tony Elliott. Tony Elliott comes over. He's got Brennan Armstrong. He's got a quarterback in place. I got this Athlon Sports College Football book, and I'm in the great state of Virginia. So, you know, they had to put that Virginia and Virginia Tech player on here. We got Brennan Armstrong on the screen. I'm like, wow, they got Brennan Armstrong of all players on the – it's in Virginia. Obviously, it makes sense.
That's awesome.
Lavelle Davis at wide receiver, 6'7" wide receiver. They're going to have a lot of talent. Dontavian Wicks. Lots of talent in Virginia, 6-6, filling in for Bronco Mendenhall, who's just consistently okay, right? You look at the last few seasons, they made the Orange Bowl in 2019. They went 9-5, 8-5, and then the last 2 years, 5-5 and 6-6. And I think Virginia was just like, hey, man, we saw the peak. The peak was we got ranked 18th in the country. We lost an Orange Bowl game, and then it's been downhill since, and you had the best quarterback we've seen here in a while. So they go bring over Tony Elliott, and – I mean, it's kind of like just feeling a new regime. It's scary, right? But he's coming over from Clemson where he had the quarterback play. He's seen the quarterback play from the years ago. This is the exciting thing about Brennan Armstrong is he gets Tony Elliott, who worked with the offense. He worked as a coordinator with running backs, et cetera. He was wide receiver at Clemson. So he's been in those rooms with the Watsons, with the Lawrences, with the Taj Boyds, the Kelly Bryant, all these dudes that went through Clemson. He's been there since 2011, and he played there 2003. So Tony Elliott, another young coach, 42 years old, comes over to Virginia from Clemson, just up the street a couple hours. And I think he's going to really elevate this Virginia offense and team overall. And I think you're looking at at least a 9-win team in Virginia in 2022, which is amazing for a first-year coach.
Let's go Wahoos. I'm down. I can't wait to see how he helps Brandon Armstrong elevate his game to being one of those early round quarterbacks that we think potentially he could be if he rounds into form here.
I know you're a big Brandon Armstrong fan, and 4,000 yards last year. Is there a ceiling of, can he put himself like, can he elevate himself to the tier of, you know, I know Burrow transferred and we see these like these Kenny Pickett, the last year in college, they elevate their game to another level and they kind of put themselves in the conversation of being a first round, early first round. You like Brandon Armstrong. Do you think Brandon Armstrong has that potential upside, especially given bringing over a new coach like Tony Elliott?
My gut feeling is no. My gut feeling is like I like him a lot. I think he'll be a good quarterback this year. I don't know if they can break through a ceiling of like 9 wins, right? To me, this feels like best case scenario, you end up being 2014 Mississippi State, right? Where you're right in front, you're rolling over teams, you're crushing people, right? That's when Dak Prescott was electric, right? Mississippi State ranked number one in the first college football playoff rankings. I think that's kind of your ceiling, not necessarily number one per se, but like you're rolling over teams and you give Clemson a really good scare, right? You beat the shit out of Wake Forest. You beat the shit out of, Miami. You know, all these up-and-coming teams, you show them that you are the quarterback to be. Then I'll change my tune. But for now, I think probably around the same as you got last year from him, right? I mean, that's probably what I would suggest is to temper expectations.
Okay, I like it. Give me your number two.
Number two for me, this is going to come off the beaten path a little bit, but number two for me is going to go to Joey McGuire out of Texas Tech. So the reason why I have him up so high here is that this just has a Texas Tech feel. This kind of, you know, it's kind of in the middle. Lubbock's kind of in the middle of West Texas, in the middle of nowhere. This is a guy who spent his entire life coaching at the high school level for the most part, right? 141-42 over 13 seasons, I believe is what his record is as a high school coach. So just knows the recruiting cycles, knows the right places to talk to. I think he's Texas through and through. Perfect type of guy, not flashy, nothing sexy about Joey McGuire, but I think he's going to get the job done for the Raiders. And then bringing over Zach Kittley from Western Kentucky. We saw what he did with Bailey Zappi and Jarius Thurn. So pretty excited to see what the quarterbacks do at Texas Tech this year. So Joey McGuire, number two.
That one caught me off guard, but I like it and it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, do you think he can elevate Texas Tech into the conversation of being a Big 12 powerhouse?
I think he'll elevate him enough to compete with
like the Baylors of the world.
Yeah. Like
it probably brings him to the Baylors of the world, but not the Texas Oklahomas.
I would say their ceiling is probably peak Gary Patterson here's DC.
Okay.
Right. Where it's like a 9-win season, 7-win season, 8-win season, 7-win season. I mean, I don't think they're ever going to sustain maybe 8 to 10 wins permanently, but
yeah,
7, 8, 9, maybe occasional 10-win season out of nowhere. Yeah, I could see that happening, especially if they can recruit well in Texas. What's your number two?
My number two is a former Texas Tech quarterback, graduate assistant, wide receiver, former Big 12 champion, head coach, new USC Trojan, Lincoln Riley. And I have this one so close to number one. So close to being number one that it's not even funny. Lincoln Riley doesn't really need a lot of explanation being done to him. He flipped Caleb Williams. He's flipped Jordan Addison. All these guys to USC. He's brought all this talent into USC. And I think why he deserves to be in this number two, and honestly maybe number one chair, is his pull. He can pull all these talents there, and he literally – we haven't seen a game yet from this new USC squad, and they already feel like they're national champion contenders, and that is what great coaches do. They flip organizations. We saw this with Nick Saban. Nick Saban was at LSU. He kills it. awesome. He won a national championship, goes to Bama and just fucking kills it.
Oh yeah.
Now you see Lincoln Riley. He gets the opportunity, you know, from Stoops at Oklahoma. Awesome job. Bounces. He goes to the pretty school, USC. Is he going to follow in the real footsteps? And he's not even 40 yet. Is he going to be there for 20 years and build the next dynasty? Is USC back? That's what I want to see from Lincoln Riley. And I have him at number two because I have an awesome guy at number one that I'm excited for. But I want to know your number one first.
My number one, it's not going to shock anybody if you listen to last week's episode or you watch last week's episode. It's going to be Brett Venables coming over from Clemson. DC coming over, head coach at Oklahoma. I think with all the drama of Oklahoma fans trashing Lincoln Riley or going after Lincoln Riley and all the Twitter garbage out there, I think it's kind of clouded the situation and made everyone forget that, like, Brent Venables had other head coaching offers before this year. It wasn't just randomly Oklahoma sprung up out of nowhere and said, hey, we want to hire you, and he'd never been asked to be a head coach anywhere else before. So I think picking, choosing, learning from Dabo Swinney, the recruiting process, how that works. I also think that, like, situational-wise, right, like Tony Elliott is leaving Clemson or left Clemson. You know, DJ Uiagalelei is questionable at best. I think for him, he's just like, okay, this now time is better than any to just jump ship, try something new. I think it's going to be an interesting time there with Dylan Gabriel in Norman, Oklahoma. So Brent Venables, number one top head coaching hire of the offseason.
It did very much surprise me to see him go. I had him as my other honorable mention as well with Billy and Napier. So I'm very excited to see that. But my number one, if you go over to Caesar Sportsbook right now, use the promo code Underworld15. Underworld15, Pac-12. 2022 conference title game winner. She's got to make it to the conference championship from the Pac-12 North. Those teams are Oregon, Washington State, Oregon State, Washington, Cal, and Stanford. Plus 1,800. I'm going Washington Huskies, Kalen DeBoer, the new head coach of the Washington Huskies, the Sioux Falls native, the South Dakota born and raised, Sioux Falls killer, Kalen DeBoer. This man was at, listen, back-to-back-to-back-to-back NAIA championships when he was at Sioux Falls, killing it. He goes to Fresno State in two seasons, flips the team, 9-3 in 2021. Now he's going to Washington. This team was straight dog water in 2021, 4-8. They bring in Michael Penix. They got Jalen Polk. They got a bunch of sophomores, Jalen McClellan at receiver. They bring back Jackson Kirkland, their stud left tackle, who was going to be in the 2022 NFL draft. Kalen DeBoer and the Washington Huskies with the fifth best odds to win the Pac-12 conference championship game. My number one coaching hire of the 2022 offseason. Let's go. Am I wrong, Andy?
Yeah, dude, I don't think you're wrong. I think he's a great coaching hire. I had him as one of my honorable mentions. In fact, I honestly thought you were going to go to your Homer roots again and pick the guy down the street from you who got hired.
This boy don't lose. He's been coaching since 2005. Okay, so 2005, 2009 at Sioux Falls, 2020, 2021 at Fresno. You know, he's an OC at Indiana where Penix was at. He brought Penix with him.
Yep.
OC at Fresno, Eastern Michigan, all these places. As a head coach, he's 79-9.
I think he's gonna be a good hire.
He don't lose. He don't lose.